I want to share this morning on something I didn't plan to share on. I normally in the mornings go over my sermons again, and this morning I actually felt the Lord to change everything. So yes. So this morning I'm gonna preach on the kingdom. We're continuing with the parables. I was planning to teach on something else, but here we go. I want us to look at another parable. We started in Matthew 13. We started with the parable of the sower and the parable of the tares, and we mentioned the parable of the mustard seed. And then also in Matthew 13, we find another parable that Jesus speaks. In verse 44. It's a very short parable. It's a well-known one. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in the field, which a man found and hid, and for the joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls, who, when he has found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. That's the parable of the treasure and the parable of the precious pearl. Jesus says the kingdom of heaven is like. I love the way Jesus teach. And most of his teachings, Jesus taught about the kingdom of God. And most of his teachings and parables started with this phrase, the kingdom of heaven is like. How shall you liken the kingdom of God to? And he starts off, he says, the kingdom of heaven is like. And I want us just to pause there for a moment. I want us to think about this. The kingdom of God is like. It's like a treasure that somebody has found in a land. And when he found it with great joy, he hid the treasure so that nobody else can get it. And he went to sell everything that he possessed to buy the land. Not for the sake of the land, but for the sake of the treasure. This is what the kingdom of heaven is like. This is what it's meant to be like in us. Who of you have ever thought about the kingdom in this way? That the kingdom of God is so precious that you're willing to sell everything for it. It's like looking as a merchant for pearls of great value. But then you find this one pearl. As you're searching through life for that what is valuable, that what is precious, you find this one thing that is more valuable than everything. And you sell everything for it so that you can gain it. Who of you have ever thought about the kingdom of God in this way? Who of you understand the kingdom in this way? I was challenged by this morning. When Christ was on the earth, he spent most of his time teaching about the kingdom of God. And most of his teaching started off with this kingdom of heaven is like. It's like something so precious that you're willing to sell everything for it. Who of us think about the kingdom in this way? Who of us understand the kingdom of God in this way? In the parable of the sower, we read about the seed and the sower and the seed and that the sower sowed the seed everywhere. And Jesus explained the parable of the sower, and he said, the seed is the Word of God. And we know that the seed is good. The problem is not the seed. And so many times as we read it, we think of the seed as the Word of God. But actually, when you read Jesus' interpretation of the parable, it's not just the Word of God. It's actually the Word of the Kingdom. It's the teaching of the Kingdom. It's challenging what Jesus is saying here in Matthew 13, verse 19. It speaks about this and it says, when anybody hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it. When you hear the message of the kingdom of God and you do not understand it, the enemy will come and steal it from you. And it will have no fruit in your life. Jesus continues to tell this parable about the kingdom that is more valuable than anything, and we ought to be willing to give everything for it. Who of you understand the kingdom in this way? Actually, it's the word of the kingdom that was so hard for the Jews to understand. It wasn't the word of God. They had the word of God. They lived the word of God. It was entrusted to them. It wasn't the word of God that was hard to understand. It was this word about the kingdom. It was so difficult for them to understand and to embrace because it was a new teaching. It was different to what they had. And it was hard to understand, hard to grasp. And Jesus tells this parable and he says, the seed is the word of the kingdom. And those who do not understand it, gets stolen from them and there's no fruit in their lives. There's nothing wrong with the seed. There's nothing wrong with the word of the kingdom. The question is always, what makes good soil? What makes good soil for the word of the kingdom to not just germinate? Because there were two others that actually received this word and even received it with great joy, but the word of the kingdom didn't produce in their lives. It didn't produce fruit in their lives. Yes, it germinated, it grew, but it never got to the point of bearing fruit. It withered and died. But what makes the good soil? Very interesting. The good soil were the ones who understood it and bore fruit. It actually says, and they understood it and it bared fruit in their life, producing 160 and a 30-fold. So good soil are those who understand. They understand what the kingdom of God is and they embrace it not only, but it produces in them fruit of the kingdom. That is the good soil. That is the good soil. Do you understand the parable of this precious pearl? Do you understand that the kingdom of God is more precious than anything? It's the most valued possession that we possess. If you don't understand it, I fear the word of God will not produce fruit in your life. If we don't come to the point where we realize that this kingdom is the most precious thing that we have, and we are willing to give everything for it, it's then when our hearts becomes fertile for the life that is within it. The longer I serve in the ministry, the more I see those who embrace the gospel with great joy. They embrace it with great joy. But so many of them, the fruit does not remain. When tribulation or persecution arises, hardship or suffering, they compromise. Or when the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word and they become unfruitful and they compromise. They receive the gospel with such great joy. And yet when pressure comes or temptation comes, they compromise and they become unfruitful. And I've realized that compromise is not bearing fruit. Compromise is bearing the opposite fruit of the kingdom. Instead of bearing the fruit of the kingdom, they bear fruit of this world. Instead of being changed by the word, they continue as if they're still in the world. They embrace the gospel with great joy, But they continue to swear. They continue to lie. They continue to deal unethically. They continue to drink too much, or it's like at some point they embrace it with great joy, but when the pressure and temptation come, they fall back into the ways of the world and they become unfruitful in the kingdom. And I've always been puzzled by this. Why some embrace it with so great joy and it just doesn't last? And while others embrace it with the same joy, but it continues and their lives change completely. And you can see in their lives that, listen here, they've not just embraced the gospel, but the gospel is changing them. It's changing them. Their lives are not the same. They're not the same anymore. They don't do the same things. And yes, it's a process, but you can clearly see change. And yet in others, you wait for the same, with the same expectation now that you received the gospel, surely. Why is this? As I study the teachings of Jesus, and the more I study the word, the more I realize that the kingdom of God is not just salvation. The kingdom of God, the word of the kingdom, is not just salvation. No, salvation is how we enter into the kingdom. It is how we enter into the kingdom. It's the good news. It's the good news that you can enter into the kingdom, not based on your works. You don't have to earn it. You cannot earn it. It's good news. You're accepted into the family of God because of the love of God, because of His grace and His mercy. It's good news. But I've realized that the kingdom of God is not just about salvation. I don't want to get distracted, but Jesus preached a very simple message, His first sermon. We'll get to that. But let me just put this there. The kingdom of God is a kingdom. It's a kingdom. Kingdom, it has a king. And you cannot vote him in. It's not a democracy. You don't get to vote who is king. You don't get to change him if you don't like his policies. He is who he is king. That's why it's called a kingdom. And you either submit to the king or you don't. But you cannot change him through your vote. If you don't like his principles and his policies, you can't vote him out. He is king, and there's only one king, and that's Jesus. He's the King of kings and the Lord of lords, and every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that he is Lord. You don't have a choice. You don't have a choice here. If you don't like his principles, if you don't like his policies, you can't vote him out. You don't have a choice. The only choice we have is whether we're going to follow him or not. That's the only choice we have. And yes, salvation is how we enter into this kingdom, but he is still king. A kingdom has territory. A kingdom has territory. You know, Jesus said, the territory, let me just put it this way. The territory of a kingdom is determined by who submits under the authority and influence of the king. The territory of a kingdom only extends as far as those who submit to him. If you no longer submit to the King Jesus, you're no longer in his territory. Because his territory extends only as far as his influence and authority is. And where the border ends, another one begins. You must understand that the kingdom of a king is only as far as the authority and influence of that king. Where that stops, another kingdom starts. Now, there might be 196 countries in this world. There's only two kingdoms. It's the kingdom of light and the kingdom of darkness. There aren't a third one. There aren't a no man's land. Where God's kingdom ends, the kingdom of darkness begins. And how do you know in whose kingdom you are? Is who you are following. Under whose rule are you submitting? Jesus said, you know what? You cannot serve two masters. You're either going to be loyal to the one, love the one, or hate and despise the other. So you cannot serve both God and money. You've got to decide who you're going to follow. So a kingdom has a king and it has territory and it's got citizens. Hallelujah. It's got citizens. And if you're a citizen of the kingdom of God, if you're a citizen of this kingdom, that means you're in his territory. If you're in his territory, it means you are submitting to his rule and authority. If you don't submit to his rule and authority, you're not part of his kingdom. It doesn't matter what passport you hold. You know, we know this. This country has got rules and regulations. I've noticed that when I was in Malawi, they've got different rules and regulations, especially when you drive. In Malawi, you can put as many people as you want into a vehicle. As many as you want. A taxi can take 30 people, and the cops will stop you. They will stop you. But they will not count how many people is in the taxi. They will just check if your license is right. Then they say, go. Now in our country, if the cops stop you and they count, they will count. And if you don't want to keep to the rules of this country, you know what they will do? They'll take you out of society. They say, fine, if you don't want to keep to the rules of this society, of this community, we put you into jail. We take you out of the community. Out of society, if you don't want to keep by those rules, we take you out. We put you in prison. Until you learn, but in our prison they don't, but anyway. Until you learn to keep the rules, not how to break them more. And then they put you back in. Say, okay, there you go. But if you want to be part of the kingdom of God, you got to submit to the rules and the regulations. If you don't submit to his, and if you don't like it, you can't change it either. Sorry. I'm sorry to say that. If you don't like Jesus' principles, you can try and vote him out, but there is no democracy in the kingdom of God. God is who he is. And you know what? He does not change. Jesus is the kingdom of God. It's a kingdom. That was just for free. The more I study the teachings of Jesus, the more I realize that the kingdom of God is not just salvation. Salvation is how we enter into it. This is how we enter into this kingdom. It is our willingness to submit to God's rule as King and through the power of the Holy Spirit that we start to live the principles and the policies of this kingdom. And it is in living these principles and policies of the kingdom of God through the power of the Holy Spirit that I'm not only changed, but that the life that it promises produces in and through me. It's amazing. It's amazing. Because this is a great kingdom. Make no mistake about it. It is a kingdom. Yes, you don't have a vote. Shucks, I'm sorry to tell you. You don't. If you want to vote, go back to the other kingdom. But you can't vote in this kingdom. But this kingdom promises you life. It promises you life. And you know what? It's real. Jesus said something interesting in Matthew chapter 7. He said, enter by the narrow gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way that leads to life, and there are few who find it. The NIV puts it softer. It says, but small is the gate and narrow is the road that leads to life, and only few find it. I've realized that the kingdom of God has a gate and a way that leads to life. There is a gate that you need to enter into, and then you need to follow the way to get to life. The gate is salvation. It's a narrow gate. It's a narrow gate. But I see so many people, they enter the gate, but they never walk the way. And they don't find the life that it promises. Because they hang around. And I know some people, when you come into this gate, they try to make this road very wide, very broad. But it's not. It's very narrow. It actually says it's difficult. But you know what I've discovered? You know what? Yes, it might be true, but it leads to life. Just this week, I was confronted again by this. I lent someone money 2 years ago. They tried to lend by the church, and the church didn't have money at the time to lend them. And so I lent them all our savings. It's a Christian man, Christian family. I lend them all my money with an expectation, because they were in trouble and the church couldn't help them, and I helped them with an expectation they're going to pay me back. I mean, obviously. But 2 years later, no communication. I've been contacting this guy over and over, you know, every 6 months. You know, it's not nice to do that. And he still hasn't paid me back. And I was talking to my wife about it. She says, so uncomfortable. But I had a conversation with him again. And just say, you know, it would be helpful if you just communicate. And then she said, you know what? I've read something in the Bible. I said, what did you read, my love? And she takes me to Luke 6, verse 43 to 47. It says, and if you lend to those whom you hope to receive back, what credit is it to you? For even sinners lend to sinners to receive as much back. And I said, yes, my love, but I'm not expecting interest back. He says, no, but that's not what the word says. I said, what does the word say? It says, even sinners lend to sinners to receive as much back. But love your enemies, do good, and lend, hoping for nothing in return. And your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, for He is kind to the unthankful and evil. Therefore be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. And I'm realizing, Lord, I don't like this policy of yours. I don't like it. I mean, this guy is wrong, and he's a brother, and I need to rebuke him and correct him. But Jesus said, nah, this is my way. Who are you going to follow? And I had to repent to say, Lord, I'm sorry, you're right. This is your ways. It's not mine. I must choose who I'm going to follow. This way is not broad, people. It's not easy. But it's not burdensome either. It's actually, if you follow God, if you love Him, if this is the most precious thing in your life, you want to live according to it. I mean, you're so grateful to be in this kingdom, you want to live according to its principles. Not because you have to, because you want to. So I surrender. I say, you're right, Lord. I will let it go. I'll let it go, because you know what? I value this precious gift of salvation that gave me entrance into this kingdom, that gave me the right to stand here. I believe it's an honor to be in your kingdom. It's an honor. So I want to live my life that reflects my gratitude and honor for being here. I don't want to do anything that brings your name or your kingdom in disrepute. So I want to change because I want to. This way of life, this way, this narrow road, it leads to life. You know what? I'm no longer angry with that person. I'm not thinking about the money anymore. Amazingly, I'm quite free of it now. All of a sudden, it's not bugging me anymore. I'm not trying to get it back and how am I going to talk to this guy. I'm actually free. It's like, hey, I don't need to worry about this. It's the way of the kingdom. You want to live holy because you are now holy. But in this parable of the kingdom that is like a treasure, I realize there's some of this, there is one of this principal keys to the success of the word in us. The keys to this kingdom life, this victory and the blessing that it holds. It says again, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field which a man found and hid, and over the joy, and for the joy over it, for the joy over it, he goes and sells everything. Not because he has to, but because he wants to. And he buys that field. And again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls, who when he had found one of great price, he went and sold all that he has and bought it. I've realized one of the keys of this kingdom life is that the kingdom needs to become the most precious thing in your life first. First, it needs to become the most precious thing in your life. And then these other things are easy. But if it's not the most precious thing in your life, it will be very difficult. It's the upside down kingdom, isn't it? First, we need to lose our life to find it. If it becomes the most precious thing in your life, you will live your life not to bring dishonor to the kingdom or to the king. But it starts with the way we think about this kingdom. How do we think about this kingdom? Is it truly the most valuable thing in our lives? Jesus started his ministry with a very simple yet profound message. I actually preached about it in Malawi. I said this sermon must have been to white people because it's so short. Because in Africa they love preaching for 3 hours, but Jesus' first sermon was so short it must have been to white people. Because it lasted only about 10 seconds. And it was a very simple message, a very short message, but it was so profound. Jesus' first sermon was, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent, for the kingdom of God has drawn close to you. And this word repent, it literally means to change your mind, to change the way you think, that will result in the way you live your life. It is the way you must change the way you think, and it will result in a change in the way you live. But it starts with the way you think. It says you must change your mind. You must change the way you think because the kingdom of God is at hand. The kingdom of God has come close. The kingdom has drawn near to you. You must change the way you think because the kingdom is near you. And you know why the kingdom is near you? Because the king is here. Jesus is saying, change the way you think about life. Change the way you think about me. Change the way you think about this kingdom because it's come close to you. And I am here. That's why it's close to you. I am here. So you must change the way you think. This kingdom has come close to you, but you cannot enter it until you change the way you think. And with boldness, I can declare to you this morning that the king is here. So his kingdom has drawn near too. But you need to change the way you think about Him and this kingdom. You know, He's near because the Word says here in Matthew chapter 18, verse 20, it says, "For where two or three are gathered together in My name, there I am in the midst of them." So with boldness, I can declare to you, the King is here and His kingdom has drawn near to you. But before you can enter, you must change the way you think. You must change the way you think about this kingdom. And I believe that is the message this morning that God is challenging us with this morning, is we need to change the way we think about this kingdom and the value of it. Is this the most precious thing in your life? Or is there something else? Because Jesus is saying, unless this becomes the most precious thing in your life, you cannot enter it. It's a challenging word, but I believe God is asking us, each one of us, what is the most valuable thing in your life? Because I am here. And so is My kingdom. I don't want you to panic. Over the years, I've also learned not to panic. Jesus tells a parable of this kingdom. He says in Matthew 13, He puts forth another parable to them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed." What did I do with it? Somebody just brought it to me, I think. I had it here somewhere. It's so small. But Jesus says, "The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and sowed, and indeed it is the smallest of all the seeds." Let me just see what I have now. Ah, I found it. I found it. Shucks, I've done this before, but I'm running out of my mustard seeds. But Jesus said, "The kingdom of heaven is like." It is like, I love it. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed. It is the smallest seed of all the seeds which a man sows. Which indeed is the least of all the seeds, but when it grows, it is greater than the herbs and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and nest in its branches. And Jesus is saying, listen here, it starts very small. It starts so small. It starts within you with a simple decision to make it the most precious thing in your life. And don't worry about the implication of this. Don't worry about what it's going to mean to your life, no matter to what extent it is a reality in your life. It starts off very small. It starts so small with a decision. It might not even be a reality in your life that this is the most precious thing in your life, but it starts with this decision that it will be the most precious thing in my life. And you know what? As you sow that seed, it will grow and it will become the biggest tree in this garden. And yes, maybe in your life right now, there are many plants. There are many plants already growing in this garden of your life. But Jesus is asking you today to sow a seed and to make His kingdom the most important thing in your life and let it grow, because it will outgrow all the other plants. And it will become the greatest in your life. So this morning He's challenging us with a simple thought. Just change your mind about My kingdom. Is it the most valuable thing in your life? Or is there something else? Let us pray. Father, we want to thank You that You've come to give us life. Father, I'm going to pray, Father, that You will come, Lord, and open our eyes and our understanding to see how precious this life is that You have given us through Your Son. Lord, remind us again, Lord, of the cost. and of the honor and the blessing it is to be in your kingdom. Lord, we want to thank you, Lord, for setting us free of our sin and our guilt, not because we earned it, but because you loved us so much. There is nothing that we could give for our lives. Yet, you called us to yourself. You've cleansed us. You've redeemed us. You've bought us back. And you've brought us into not just your kingdom, but your household. You make us sit with your Son, not just as children, but co-heirs with him. Lord, what an honor, what a privilege. How great, how wide, how deep is this love that you have lavished upon us. That we don't have to be afraid anymore. We don't need to strive anymore. Because we've been set free and we've already been declared holy and righteous. So we are free to live it. We're no longer bound by the power of sin. We can be free. Lord, this morning you're simply asking us, do you value it? This great gift that I have given you. This morning you're asking us, Lord, to put you first. To put your kingdom first in our lives. So this morning, as we are together and all the eyes are closed, if you are here this morning, I don't know who you are, but God is asking you this question, and I want us just to take a moment and reflect on that. Just where you are, just where you're seated. Just to respond to Jesus. Because he is here. Because where two or three are gathered in his name, there he is with us. And he's declaring to each one of us, change your mind, because the kingdom has drawn close to you today. Because I am here. Change the way you think about life, about my kingdom, and about your life. While all the eyes are closed, maybe you are here this morning and for the first time, you want to make a commitment to follow Jesus as King with everything. Maybe you are here this morning and you've realized, but you have not been following him with everything, that his kingdom is not first in your life. But today you want to make a decision to put him and his kingdom first. It's the most valuable thing in your life. If that is you this morning, I want you just to respond to Jesus by raising your hand. Say, Lord, here I am. I want to give you my life. I want to put your kingdom first in my life. Thank you for those hands. You can just raise them and just drop them again, but it's just to God. It's just to God. Thank you for those hands. Father, I want to pray this morning, Lord, for every heart that is responding to your word. And you can still raise your hand if you feel to. But God, I want to thank you. You can just drop them. You just put it up and you just drop it again. You say, just God, here I am, Lord. I want to give you my life. I want to give you my life, Lord. I want to put your kingdom first in my life. Father, I thank you, for Lord, for every hand that is going up. Lord, I want to thank you, Father, for every commitment that is made. Lord, every decision that is made. Lord, I want to thank you, Father, that today, Lord, the citizenship is approved. It is acknowledged. it is put into place. Lord, I want to thank you, God, for seeds, Lord, that are germinating, Father. And it's not just growing, Father, but it will grow to bear fruit. It will continue to grow. Father, I want to thank you, Father, for this day, Lord. I want to thank you, God, for this commitments made. Lord, I thank you, Father, that you are such a good God, Lord. You embrace us on the intention of our hearts, Lord. We don't even sometimes know what it means, but you know. And you love us, Lord. I thank you, Father, for permission given that you may enter and take control of lives. I just sense for some of us, we have been holding back. We've been holding back. We haven't surrendered everything, and God could not enter into everything. But I believe God is saying to some of you this morning, because you have given me everything today, I will enter into everything today. I will enter into every aspect of your life, and I will bring my kingdom there. I will bring my rule, my authority, my blessing, my presence, my favor. Father, I thank you that today, Lord, as work is opened up to you, as relationships are opened up to you, as hurt is opened up to you, fear, rejection, all those things that keeps us from you, Lord, as we open it up to you, Lord, I thank you that you will enter and that you will bring your kingdom there. Lord, I want to pray, Father, that as you have taught us, Jesus, to pray for your kingdom and your will to come on earth as it is in heaven, in the same way your kingdom rules in heaven, Lord, I pray that it will come on earth, Lord, that it will invade our lives, Lord, and that we will submit to it as it comes, that we will yield to it as it comes, in our workplace, in our relationships, in our hurts, in our fears, in our sickness, Lord, that we will submit to it, that we may reap of it the blessing that it brings. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen.